Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. You know, we have all heard that childhood saying about sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never harm me. But more and more, we learn that words can and do cause harm, even when they're used in subtle ways to telegraph prejudice and hate. The word in German, Führer, technically means leader or guide, but today that single word is associated with a motherlode of darkness, the title that Adolf Hitler gave himself to brand himself as the absolute leader and dictator of Nazi Germany. The single word, though, has triggered a tidal wave of reaction when it appeared on an Anchorage license plate. And joining us now to talk about that, Ava Gardner, who first spotted the Führer plate in Anchorage, John McKay, an attorney who specializes in protecting First Amendment rights, Libby Bacalar, also an attorney and active on social media, and Rebecca Braun, a long career as a journalist and public policy expert. Well, welcome, all of you, and we'll get to your reactions to this license plate phenomena, but first, Eva, I would like you to kind of cue things up for us, set up the discussion by describing what you spotted in October and how you initially reacted.
Of course. Well, it was just an ordinary fall weekend day. It was October 10th. I was driving out to just go for a hike. It was a really nice day. And we're in Midtown Anchorage, and I look up and I see a license plate in front of me, and I had to do a double take because my first thought was, is that real? Did somebody make a fake license plate? Because it had the word Führer on it. And then I realized it was real. And my next reaction was just, it was terrifying. It was chilling to see that both the state had issued a plate with that word on it and that somebody was driving around with it in Anchorage thinking it was fine. I'm from a Jewish family. I'm Jewish. My grandfather's entire family was killed in the Holocaust. So, you know, it's something that I never thought I would see here in the United States. So I went home, thought about it for a while, shared a photo with a couple of other Jewish friends just to make sure, you know, that my reaction was properly calibrated. And then I sent in a complaint to the DMV.
You know, a lot of people have seen that license plate and probably recognized that it was a slur or just ignored it. And you know, it has maybe with the thought that, oh, it has nothing to do with me. It's just a word. But why does that word have such a supercharge to it, especially for you and your family? You know, what did your relatives tell you about the Holocaust?
I mean, it destroyed in multiple generations of our family. My father was born in a displaced person camp in Germany after the war because they couldn't go home. There was no home to go to. They moved to the United States, and when they came here, you know, I think they felt like they were coming to a new place where that wouldn't happen again. But with that, I mean, growing up, my family was Orthodox Jewish. I grew up in the Midwest, and my parents always told me not to put my middle name on things. When I signed up for things, got airline tickets, because somebody, you know, if it happened in Germany, it could happen here. And if somebody were ever going to make a registry of Jews, then my middle name, which is very Jewish, would be a giveaway. And I always thought that was paranoid. I didn't think that could happen in America. I thought that as a society, we shared kind of a common moral opinion that genocide is bad, that glorifying Nazism and everything that went with it, glorifying Hitler, is something that everybody, you know, here can agree is terrible. So I thought my parents were just being paranoid. But, you know, seeing the rise in hate crimes against so many different minorities, including Jews, over the past few years, and then seeing that license plate really has made me wonder if maybe they were right.
You know, when I think about Nazi Germany and a few years back, there were some Holocaust survivors that came and gave some presentations in Anchorage. And one of the things that you hear in their stories are these things that initially happened. Of course, many of them have since passed on. But the things that initially happened were tiny, small. And, you know, maybe not tiny when you think about being asked to wear a gold star to identify yourself as a Jew, but still, they weren't things that were big, but they got horrendous fast. And do you think that things like license plates with the word Führer or Third Reich are just little tests of what people will tolerate?
I think that they are. I think they're also signs that something that should not come into the mainstream, you know, in a moral sense, is coming into the mainstream. And that's, I think, how it began in Germany, right? It was a minority that slowly changed perception, gained power, and then imposed its agenda on millions and millions of innocent people. And I think that things like the license plate are definitely indicative of that creep. And I'm optimistic that we're not going to end up in a Holocaust situation in the United States, but I think that it does require vigilance and moral certainty that things like that are wrong.
So you see this license plate and you turn to DMV to get this sorted out. So what were your steps?
I looked online, found the appropriate email address, and sent an email in the middle of the night. And, you know, I did a little bit of side research. I'm a big believer in process. I'm actually a lawyer. I'm not here to talk about that. But I do believe that if you have a problem with something that you see, there are always appropriate channels to report it to. So, you know, the appropriate channel was for me to contact the DMV, lodge a complaint, explain why I felt it was inappropriate, and leave it at that. And I did check, you know, there are regulations. I think John McKay is going to be prepared to speak about that more. But there is a regulation that says that the DMV won't issue plates if they are contain terms known to be offensive to certain categories of people. And I think the word Fuhrer definitely qualifies.
Third right.
And I also did a little bit of, Googling, and I saw, you know, at least one other state, Utah, had actually revoked a plate that had the word Fuhrer on it. So I felt, you know, my complaint was well within the bounds of both the law in Alaska as it stands today and what had been done elsewhere. I got a stock response the next day saying we've passed this on to the appropriate person, and I didn't hear anything else until this past weekend.
So it's taken some time to percolate, probably time to investigate, because apparently there are license plates that have been outlawed. But what were your thoughts about the fact that, you know, this license could have been outlawed? Apparently the person was given another license plate. What are your thoughts about the fact that a person might use that license plate knowing they were breaking the law?
It's difficult for me to understand that somebody both would be so committed to that message, be so committed to the word Fuhrer or the Third Reich, whichever license plate we're talking about, that they would put an expired plate on their vehicle and drive around with it when they had already been issued, informed by the DMV that it was no longer valid and issued replacement plates. So it just, you know, my initial hope was, I hope somebody thinks this is a joke, right? It's sad if they do. It's sad if they think that genocide is something to laugh about, but I hope it's a joke, because that's better than the alternative, which is that they really truly believe that Nazism is something to glorify. And the fact that somebody is, that this person chose to drive around with the revoked plates suggests that it is in fact, you know, a deeply held belief.
Well, let's turn to John McKay, because you have often defended the rights of free speech and First Amendment rights, especially for the Alaska media. But how is this a little bit different than a free speech issue?
Well, I think you probably want me to tell you that it's lots different from a free speech issue, and I have to say I'm not sure that I can tell you that. I think it is a free speech issue. How that's resolved is an open question. But I think, you know, we start with the fact that there are people with different opinions on things, different viewpoints, and that generally the First Amendment doesn't allow the government to engage in viewpoint discrimination. So I think we have a horrible legacy in this country of racism, history of many deaths and societal disruptions from our history of both racism and white supremacy. We've inherited, you know, so many wrongs. We turn over a rock and it's still there. So I think pretending that it's not there isn't going to change things. And I think that, just like in other areas, this is something that the remedy for unpopular speech has always been assumed to be more speech. And I think this, it's interesting, this may be one of those areas. There are times when the government can restrict speech, But there are cases that suggest that this may not be one of them. As Eva pointed out, there is a state regulation that specifically, I think, authorizes DMV to do exactly what it did. And so that's a, you know, it's a fair for a citizen who's offended, justifiably offended by the message on this plate to speak up. And it's reasonable for the DMV administrator to implement the statute by doing exactly what it allows, what the regulation allows. But I think it's an open question in the end whether that speech might be permissible under the First Amendment if it were challenged. There is a U.S. Supreme Court case that actually deals with license plates specifically, and particularly whether the state of Texas could adopt a Confederate flag background as one of its choices that people could use for their license plates, like we have the bear, or we have, you know, a Purple Heart license plate or something. And basically the court, U.S. Supreme Court said in that case, well, they can. They can keep the group that wanted to have a Confederate flag from being allowed to do that as one of the plate designs, because it was basically seen as government speech. The government's kind of endorsing that or adopting it as one of its designs. But the Supreme Court in that case specifically said that's different from the whole question of, you know, these vanity plates or personalized plates, and we don't reach that. You know, we don't decide that today. And other courts since then have looked at it, and some have said, yeah, vanity plates are kind of personal expression instead of government expression. So if the government is going to get into regulating personal expression, then the traditional rules may apply that you can't burden speech based on the reactions of an audience or government hostility to that speech. So it's an open and difficult question, and I think the solution to it, there obviously could be a legal challenge, but I think the solution to it, I would say, was really well expressed in a letter to the editor by Rabbi Goldstein that I saw in the Daily News in the last week, that basically really encouraged people to say, you know, you can say these things if you want, but you shouldn't. You know, you should, and we need to talk to each other and have a civil discourse. So I think you'll probably be getting into more of that, but I think that's the broad outlines.
You know, I had an aunt, a favorite aunt, Aunt Nancy, and growing up as a kid, she'd always say when kids got potty mouthed or started taunting each other, don't be ugly. Don't be ugly. Now, don't be ugly. And you know, what is it about our society today that gives people permission to be ugly? And Libby, since you're often on social media and stirring the pot of a lot of issues, what is it about our world today that we say things and do things that people never thought were acceptable?
I don't know. I mean, I think we've just lost civility. There's a room for anonymity. People say and do a lot of things behind a keyboard they wouldn't necessarily face-to-face. You know, it's good and bad. Social media is good and bad. It's just a tool, and it can be used and abused. The reason this whole thing blew up was because of social media and a journalist named Matt Tunseth from Palmer that took a picture of a license plate that said Three Reich, not the Fuhrer plate. It turns out that the Fuhrer plate and the Three Reich plate belong to the same individual whose Facebook page is full of white supremacist stuff. So it's obviously not his last name or anything like that. And, you know, even if it were his last name, you know, I think it's well within the clearly prohibited by the regulation. As John points out, it is an open question whether that license plate is a traditional public forum that is going to be in 2021 a billboard for Nazism. I think after the insurrection at the Capitol, that analysis might change. There are violent and imminent threat exceptions to the First Amendment. They're not absolute. I'm not going to question John's expertise on this, but I do think it's a very interesting question. And it's by no means clear, especially now, that this speech would be upheld by a court. And particularly because Alaska's constitution says that we are responsible for abuse of the right of freedom of speech. So I don't know that the government needs to be abetting this necessarily, but it would be interesting for a court to say. But in any event, back to social media. So Matt tweeted this, and then I just retweeted it and said, you know, please report this to the DMV. And it was clear that Eva's complaint had gone unheeded, and I have a fairly large social media following. And so after I did that, I think the DMV was flooded with complaints about these plates. And it kind of took off from there. And then, you know, Jamie Allard, the Anchorage Assemblywoman, waded into the whole thing herself by defending these plates as exactly what, you know, exactly what Eva said, you know, or I can't remember if it was John that just said it, Reich is realm and Fuhrer means leader and it's all fine. And who cares if there's a three in front of the Reich and all this stuff. And then, of course, that got her into some hot water because she was an appointee to the Human Rights Commission, which deals with discrimination complaints. And that is obviously not a good look, even for this governor, to have someone who has no concept that these are hugely anti-Semitic symbols and words. And they present a very real and, I think, imminent threat to people of color in the state, to certainly Jewish people in the state. And there's a huge rise in anti-Semitism. I mean, the number three thing trending on Twitter last night was a conspiracy that Jewish people have a space laser and started the campfire in California, wildfire. That was by an elected member of Congress. So there are elected officials in Congress now promoting these ideas. And it's scary. It's really scary. And I think if we don't speak out against it, we are abdicating our responsibility to create a safe and civil society for ourselves. Again, these are not that right to free speech is not absolute. There are limitations. And I think hate speech in the public sphere like that, that in 2021, where we are facing what we are facing and what happened, you know, I think it would be a different analysis, I think. So anyway, that was my involvement in the whole incident.
Well, I think it does require a lot of soul searching. I want to go to you, Rebecca Braun, because you're a journalist and you're also Jewish and also a person who has children. And you know, I'm just wondering, did you talk to your children about this at all? Do you talk to them about these things?
Well, that's an interesting question. I have so many thoughts. So my oldest is 19. She isn't around right now, and I haven't talked to her recently about this. My younger child just turned 13, and he's getting ready for his bar mitzvah. So he's beginning to study and learn more about Judaism, Jewish values, and history. I haven't talked to him about this yet. Honestly, he has done a lot of reading about the Holocaust, and I guess I really, I have this maybe naive hope that it can all just be history. But a couple things I want to say, and one, like Eva, you know, I am a Jewish American, and I'm the daughter of a Holocaust refugee. My father was born in 1935 in Austria, and his family was not very religious at all, quite secular. And interestingly, what I think is ironic, my father's father was the doctor, the village doctor in the village where my father was born. And as such, he made house calls. You know, he had his doctor bag and made house calls, and he was able to get a car, which made it easier to make house calls, but it was the first car in the village. And sometime 1937 or 8, it was 1938, after the annexation or the Anschluss of Austria by Nazi Germany, which was not a hostile takeover. The Austrians welcomed the Nazis in. But people were still, you know, kind of, oh, it's not such a big deal. And I think this incremental change gave most people this idea, you know, like you just don't notice when the pH of the water or the frog in the, you know, it's getting hotter ever so slowly. And my grandfather had his car stolen by the Nazis at gunpoint. But they did everything all legalistically with paperwork that they made him sign at gunpoint saying he was giving his car as a gift to the Nazi party. And I think, in a weird way, he was lucky that he was targeted because he woke up kind of earlier than others and it enabled them to get out in time. And that's feel that's why I'm here. And so I'm really attuned to this idea that we have to pay attention. Early signs matter, you know, and so I'm with you. And it's funny, even before that, when my father was born, I think my grandparents had a bad sense of things because in terms of names, they named my father Peter. And they chose that name because it works in every language or most of the languages they could think of. And they felt they did not know where he was going to end up being raised and what language he would end up speaking. But that's, I have a policy comment too, but.
Well, why don't you make your policy comment?
So my policy comment is just this. I am the one among your guests who's not an attorney. But from a policy standpoint, the state has a choice whether it wants to have a vanity license plate program or not, you know, and we could revoke it. I'm not suggesting we should, but why not think about that? I think that it originally, I mean, I don't really know. People pay a couple $100s. It makes a little bit of revenue for the state, and people could drive around with their little license plate that was like Glinda's car or whatever. But I think as we're getting into this games and baiting, and if this is going to become more and more of a problem and lawsuits are going to happen, the state could just revoke it and say, you're just going to get whatever license plate is assigned, and we're going to give up this paltry amount of revenue. I don't know what it is that we get. It's not worth it. And then if people really want to put hate speech on their car, they can get a bumper sticker. You know, you're not going to get rid of it, but the state doesn't have to be a party to it.
You know, I had heard that you had posted some complaints about this on some conservative websites, lodged your feelings, and were surprised by the responses you got.
Oh, me? Well, the only part of that that's not accurate is surprised. I wasn't really surprised. I mean, I kind of knew that when I waded onto a sort of right-wing site, it wasn't any worse than I expected, but I just felt like I really feel, I kind of believe in like basic human goodness. And I believe that like we have to still make some efforts to communicate, and we can't just write off like an enormous and, you know, segment of society. We just can't really afford to let all these people fall into conspiracy theories and hate speech. And I believe some people, not all, can be pulled back. And so I try sometimes to engage in that. And I just shared very briefly the story of being a child of the Holocaust, and that I kind of hoped people could think about this a little bit differently, maybe have a different perspective. So, you know, I got some irrational comments, and I just saw them as bait, and I didn't take the bait.
Boy, that's amazing that someone couldn't say, I apologize for, you know, that I'm sorry that you had to experience that. I understand. I mean, that to me would be the kind of answer. But I don't think that everyone who is conservative necessarily feels that these things are appropriate. The argument is oh, it's our right. It's if we clamp down on that, if we are overly politically correct, we will squash other people from speaking their truths. And so we have about a minute left for each of you to weigh in. So I'm going to go back to Ava. What are your final thoughts to leave us with on this?
Like Rebecca, I have so many thoughts, but I'm just one thing that has been heartwarming and reassuring about all of this is that more people are against the message of these plates than are for them. I do think it's at this point still a very small minority of at least Alaskan society, and we've got, you know, personally, I've gotten a lot of support from people thanking me for making the report and bringing this up, although I played a very small role in the recent really no role in the recent social media firestorm, but I am heartened and optimistic that we will get through this and we're not going to end up somewhere truly bad.
I hope we don't lose personal license plates. They're fun. It's always fun to read the little puzzle. I just hope that people keep them personally clean is kind of my wish in that. But What are your thoughts, John McKay?
Well, I go back to this is really a call to arms. And instead of relying on government officials, I mean, I hope that whatever protections people can get from the dangers that are imposed by racists and white supremacists and other hate mongers, that you'll get, you know, we can get protection from that. But in the meantime, we can't really rely on the government to protect us from that. We need to talk to each other. We need to educate each other. I think people ought to be held accountable, whether it's public officials or not, for ignorance. If they don't know our history, they should be held accountable for that. And I think the same thing, they should be held accountable for being disingenuous. If you pretend you don't know what the word Führer means, or maybe you didn't know if you're talking about your Führer or mein Führer, but I don't believe that that's, if that's what somebody's really saying, then that's really not a contribution to the discourse to pretend that you don't know. So I think we need to educate people. We need to use these warning signals that we get when somebody puts this kind of hateful stuff out there as a reminder that this is weeding the garden. You have to go out every year. You have to go out every day in the summer and do it. And you can't just give up
or
delegate it to the government.
Thanks, John. Libby?
Yeah, I totally agree with all of that. With everything John said, I don't take any issue with any of that.
Weeding the garden. Wow.
That's a good analogy. And I agree with also what Becca said about vigilance. You know, it's important to this. Now this controversy has gone on for a week, and I spoke briefly with Becca before our call about, you know, whether we're, you know, continuing to drag it on is actually just not productive at a certain point. But, you know, it's been a full week. We've had time to digest it. And I think it's a good cap on the week of this discourse. I think it's very important for the rest of Alaska to see what Black and Indigenous people of color and Jewish people in this state see and experience, and the threats that we face, and the fact that white supremacy is real, and it places a very real threat in the public sphere, including, as we saw with the insurrection that happened. So I think the vigilance is important. The exposure is important. And it's a balance between, you know, how do you bait these people or do you expose them and hope that the rest of society will get on your side and fight it alongside you with more speech, as John said.
Becca Braun, you have the last word.
Thanks. I would definitely agree. And there's this part of me that just doesn't even want to give this more air. And it's that balance between calling it out and denouncing it. And then, you know, just fomenting more of it, baiting people and giving them attention for it. And so at this point, I kind of just want to move forward. And I always think of, like, one of my favorite Jewish values is tikkun olam, which I don't speak much Hebrew, but I'm told translates repairing the world. And I just feel we're all constantly called to do this work of repair, Jewish or not. And I hope more and more people just are motivated to put their energy into repair rather than destruction.
And those are good words to leave this conversation on. I want to thank all of you for joining us. Eva Gardner, John McKay, Libby Bacalar, and Rebecca Braun. Thank you.